Cursed by Thomas Wheeler. Read by Catherine Langford.
But there was heard among the holy hymns a voice as of the waters, for she dwells down in a deep calm. Whatsoever storms may shake the world, and when the surface rolls, hath power to walk the waters like our Lord. Alfred Lord Tennyson, Idylls of the King. Well, said Merlin, I know whom thou seekest, for thou seekest Merlin. Therefore seek no farther, for I am he. Thomas Malory, La Morte d'Arthur. Chapter 1. From her hiding place in the straw pile, and through eyes filled with tears, Nimue thought Father Cardan looked like a spirit of light. It was how he stood, back to the bleached sun, and the way the clouds poured under his draping sleeves and upraised palms, like a man standing on the sky. His trembling voice rose above the din of bleating goats, crackling wood, screaming infants and wailing mothers. God is love. It is a love that purifies, a love that sanctifies, a love that unites us. Cardan's pale blue eyes passed over the piteous, howling mob, prostrated in the mud, barricaded by monks in red robes. And God sees, Cardan continued. And today he smiles, because we have done his work today. We have washed ourselves clean with God's love. We have seared away the rotten flesh. The clouds of smoke billowing around Cardan's arms and legs swirled with flakes of red ash. Spit flecked his lips. Sawed away the corruption of demonism. Expelled the blackened humours from this land. God smiles today. As Cardan lowered his arms, his draping sleeves dropped away like curtains, revealing an inferno of 30 burning crosses in the field behind him. The crucified were hard to see in the thick black smoke. Biette, a sturdy block of a woman and mother of four, rose up like a wounded bear and hobbled on her knees toward Cardan before one of the tonsured monks in red stepped forward, planted his boot between her shoulder blades, and kicked her face first into the mud. And there Biette stayed, groaning into the wet earth. Nimue's ears had been ringing since she and Pym rode into the village on Dusk Lady and saw the first dead body on the trail. They thought it might have been Mikkel, the tanner's boy, who grew orchids for the May rituals, but his head had been crushed by something heavy. They could not even stop to check, for the entire village was on fire, and red paladins swarmed, their billowing robes dancing with the flames. On the fallow hill, a half-dozen village elders were already burning to death on hastily erected crosses. Pim's screams had seemed far away to Nimue as her mind went white. Everywhere she looked, she saw her people being choked in the mud or torn from their homes. Two paladins dragged old Betsy by her flailing arms and hair through her pen of geese. The birds squawked and fluttered in the air, adding to the surreal chaos. Shortly thereafter, Nimue and Pim were separated, and Nimue took shelter in the straw pile where she held her breath as monks stomped past her carrying blanket bundles of confiscated goods. They unfurled the blankets on the floor of the open wagon where Cardan stood, spilling the contents around his feet. The priest looked down and nodded, expecting this. Roots of yew and alder, wooden figurines of elder gods, totems and animal bones. Cardan sighed patiently. God sees, my friends. He sees these instruments of demonic conjuring. You cannot hide from him. He shall dredge this poison out. And shielding others like you will only prolong your suffering. Father Cardan brushed ashes from his grey tunic. My red paladins are eager for your confessions.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?